And if you'll stand with us as we sing our opening hymn, hymn number 108, Amazing Grace.
Our loving Heavenly Father, our gracious Lord Jesus, and powerful Holy Spirit, we are here before you today because of your grace. It is your grace that has called us. It is your grace that has saved us. So this day, Lord, we come before you and thank you. And we want to celebrate again your saving, your powerful, your amazing grace. Thank you for being here with us. Come into our hearts. For they are open. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Waken. Today's offering is going to go to our church's local conference. Would the deacons please stand? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and thank you that Sabbath, and help us to get our rest, because today is your day of rest. Amen.
Thank you, Tristan. That was very nice. That's the second time I've heard that. And we thank you for that renditioning of Kumbaya. Well, welcome to worship this morning, everyone. I wish you a happy new year. Thank you very much for being here. My name is Pastor Andy Mosley. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And so if you're visiting here today with us, we welcome you. And if you're a regular member here, we welcome you as well. Just our time of announcements this morning. Quite a few of them. So I'm going to take a deep breath here and charge through them pretty quickly, keeping my eye on the clock there too. Okay, so first of all, our 10 days of prayer is continuing. Every evening from, we started on the 7th of January through until the 17th of January. There is a note in your bulletin about that. That's here at the church at 7 o'clock each evening. And our head elder, Leon Hill, is leading out with that program. You are welcome to come and join that group. And also just to mention as well that the Celebrate Recovery group is up starting again as well on Thursday evenings at 6:30 down in the youth room. Thursday evenings, the Celebrate Recovery group is starting up again too. Today is a special service, of course. We have our communion service. And every time we do a communion service, we take up a special offering at the end of the service. Our deacons will be positioned at the end of the service to take up a love offering for those who are in need, particularly those who are in our own congregation in need. So watch out for that offering at the end of the service. Thank you very much for your giving to the ministries here at Piedmont Park Church. Our church treasurer has got all of the tax-deductible receipts available for each person and family. You'll find them at the welcome desk, which is at the back door over there on the on my left, on your right. If you look around, there are a number of envelopes there, all in alphabetical order. I see some of them have picked up. Some of you have picked up your white envelopes already. That will give details of your giving to this church and to the ministry of this church and the conference through the year. So they're available at the welcome desk. That sun is deceptive out there, isn't it? It's been a very, very cold week. Hope you're feeling nice and warm in here this morning. There's an announcement here that the adventurers and the eager beavers and the little lambs who were meant to be meeting, I think, last Wednesday but was cancelled, will be meeting this Wednesday, 14th of January. Last week they missed out because it was cold. Let's hope it's a little bit warmer next week, shall we? Okay, we're about halfway through. Virgil mentioned to me that there is in the bulletin a invitation to join a mission trip to Peru in early February. All the dates are there in your bulletin. He let me know that the cost of the trip has come down to only $1,700. Okay, so if you're interested in going to do mission work in Peru, please see Virgil after the service. Peru Projects is something that we support regularly in this congregation. I think that's all my bits. So Vanessa, I think you have an announcement about a concert that's coming up next Saturday evening.
Good morning. I would like to invite you to come next Saturday evening to see Matt and Josie Minicus. They were here a couple years ago and did a special music for our church and then did a concert at College View. And this year we get to have them do their concert here. So just really peaceful, scriptural music, piano, guitar, voice. And they'll be singing next week for church so you can hear what they sound like. And then come back, bring your friends and family for the concert in the evening.
Okay, thank you very much, Vanessa. Misty, as you come up, you have an announcement to make about something that's beginning tomorrow. Did you eat too much food at Thanksgiving and Christmas time? Come on, fess up. Here's your chance to get some of those pounds off.
Starting tomorrow, Health Ministries is going to be sponsoring an exercise class. Crystal Schecker is going to be our instructor. And the cost is minimal. Essentially, it'll cost you $2 a class. We're selling $20, $10, 10-punch passes, and you can get those tomorrow if you choose to come. On page 6 in your bulletin, there's a nice little announcement that has a lot of information about it. And I just wanted to let you know, in case you have small children and you were still interested in coming, we will have some childcare. And all fitness levels are welcome. And Crystal's going to provide some modifications for if you should need any of those. And so this will be a way that you can get warm, at least for a little while, before you have to brave the cold again. And just let me also tell you where it's at. College View Academy, Okay, so College View Academy. In the elementary building, you'll enter through door number 8. And so door number 8 is the entrance that's kind of tucked away up the hill a little bit, and we'll be in the multi-purpose room.
Okay, thank you very much, Misty. Pastor Michael, I'll allow you to share our happy news.
Ah, it is a happy day today, Pastor Andy. Don't go anywhere. Most of you have probably heard the news, but we have long been waiting for something to come in the mail and something to get approved, and just this Thursday, it finally was approved after months and months of waiting and paper filling out and interviews. Pastor Andy, Cheryl, and the boys, Elliot, Curtis, and Jay, have received approval for their green cards. Yes. And so in honor of you, I'm wearing green today. And I've got a little poll with the post office. Your cards have arrived, and here they are. We've got them. Well, maybe not the official ones, but these are cards from your church family just wanting to congratulate you guys. We've got two here. We've got three more because there's five of them. And so we're going to hand those down. And in case you didn't get a chance to sign these, we want to give everybody a chance to sign and just tell you how excited we are to have you in our midst. Pastor Andy, as he was leaving on Thursday, he said, "We'll go and find out if we have to go back or if we get to stay." And we're so thrilled that you guys get to stay here with us. And we're going to get you watching American football here and eating apple pie and all those great things. But we are thrilled to have you with us and thrilled to have all the Mosleys with us. So congratulations. Thank you. Give them a handshake today. Give them a hug. We're so thrilled. And I do believe that concludes our announcement time. So I believe it's time for our lamb's offering. So boys and girls, if you'd head to the back, find those baskets, and then come on up here, and we'll have a very special children's story for you. Thank you, everyone, and happy Sabbath.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you beautiful people today? Oh, man, I'm sorry you're all so ill and sick. Can you try that again? Do you have any energy in there at all? Good morning. Oh, phew. I was starting to worry, thinking all your parents are going to have to take you and get your energy shots. Oh, something. Well, you know what? Today is communion. So right up here on the table, we have some bread and unfermented wine, and we're going to celebrate the life, the perfect life, sinless life, the death of Christ and his resurrection, and how he is available to us to help us every day. And I want to tell you a little story. Now, I wasn't alive then, but Pastor Andy was, and he told me that clear back in the day, there was first a World War I. And then there was a Great Depression, and then there was another World War II. And so there was a long time where the world had a lot of trouble. And during that time, unfortunately, some of the children, like your ages, and maybe a little younger and older, unfortunately, some of them lost all their parents. Can you imagine not having your parents? That's kind of a sobering thought, isn't it? But these children didn't have any parents anymore. The war had, like, taken them. They'd either gotten sick or died in the fighting. And so these children had to live in what's called an orphanage. It's a big place where children who don't have parents got to live back then. And the whole country was poor, so there wasn't a lot of food. And these children worried. Do you guys ever worry? Anybody? Yeah, there's a few that know what worry is, okay. They would worry. Would they be alive tomorrow? What happened to their parents? What happened to their brothers and sisters? Would they have enough food to eat? And so sometimes they would worry, and then they would go to bed, and the people that helped in the orphanage noticed that they wouldn't sleep good. They would cry at night, and they didn't sleep good. So the orphanage workers came up with an idea that I think God gave them. And here's some orphanage workers right here. They're going to stand up and give you a little baggie. Go ahead, Christian. Just really quickly pass them out. There you go. We're all going to get a little baggie. And in that baggie is a piece of bread and a little note. Mm-hmm. So let's go really, really fast. There you go. Let's toss a few up there. Here you go. Here's some more. Okay, now don't get too wild here. It's not softball. Okay, anybody else not have one? We need every child to have a piece of bread. Okay, so when these orphanage workers put the children to bed at night, they gave each child a crust of bread. Now, it was probably dry. They didn't have baggies back then. And they said, hold it close in your hands to your heart. Can you do that? Put the bread up there by your heart and hold it really close. And the children were able to hold that bread and go to sleep. And it comforted them, knowing that in the morning when they woke, they would have a piece of bread to eat. And it gave them security. It gave them a feeling of safety. So in your bag now, turn it over and look. There's a little note in there. And it says that Jesus is the bread of life. If you hold Jesus close to your heart, he will help you, forgive you, and make you ready to live forever in the new earth where he will live also. So today, when you take this bread home with you, remember, God is always there to help you, to forgive you, and to make you ready to live with him. And maybe after you eat the bread later at lunch, you could take this little note and maybe put it on your mirror where you brush your teeth, or maybe on your dresser in your bedroom, and you can read it once in a while to remind yourself that God is always there for you. Let's have prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you today for helping us always. Even when we don't remember you, and even when we forget to pray, you don't leave us. You're always there. And as soon as you call our minds back, you help us to remember to talk to you again. Thank you for promising you will never leave us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming.
Please stand as we sing our theme song, Wonderful, Merciful Savior. possible, please kneel for prayer and join us in singing.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for the many blessings that you've given us. Thank you for the break in the weather, and thank you for always being there and always listening to our prayers. Father, please be with us today. Today is our communion, and as well as a new year. So, Father, please be with us as we step off into our new year. And, Father, let us renew our vows to you and renew our lives in you, Lord. Please be with us and help us see the world in your eyes with love and hope and forgiveness. And Lord, just please always be there in our lives so that we can radiate it out to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture reading today is Psalm chapter 8, and this is what it says. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and with honor. You have made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth.
Thank you, Eula, for bringing us God's word this morning, and thank you to each and every one who has participated in our worship today. Space, the final frontier. Or maybe you prefer a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Those two famous lines launched two of the most successful science fiction franchises ever. But humanity has been gazing up at the stars long before Captain Kirk and Luke Skywalker. Have you spent any time lately gazing up into the heavens and just been blown away by what you see? You're probably answering, Pastor, it's too cold to go outside and see anything right now. But I do remember this week, I believe it was Wednesday, driving home from the 10 days of prayer, the moon was just gorgeous as it was rising. It was a wonderful night. So as you look up into the sky, what do you see? Well, perhaps this morning you're thinking, Pastor, what does stargazing have anything to do with communion? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Let's open our Bibles and find out. One of the most famous stargazers in all the Bible was actually David. And if you'll turn with me to Psalm chapter 8, which Eula read for us, our scripture for today, let's see how stargazing connects to our communion service. Now, Psalm 8 was written by David. And as David cared for his sheep, he didn't have a cell phone to pass the time. He received no texts. There was no Instagram. He was just there with his sheep all day long and all night. And I believe at nighttime, he would turn his gaze upward into the night sky and listen to what David said. In Psalm chapter 8, starting in verse 3, he says, "When I consider your heavens and the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him?" David looked up into the sky, and I think he just said, "It's so big. It's so big up there." Now, was he right? You bet he was. Even without a telescope, even without the Hubble telescope, David was right, more than he even realized. Scientists today guess that there are in each galaxy 100 billion stars. 100 billion in each galaxy. That's big, but it gets bigger. Because the scientists also guess that there may be around, rough estimate, of 100 to 200 billion galaxies. Anybody want to do the math on that one? When I start thinking about things like this, and I start thinking about light years and billions upon billions of stars and galaxies and planets, my head starts to spin. It is big. And then we realize just how big creation is. Our logical next thought should be, our Creator must be bigger. Amen? He must be bigger in power and strength than creation. The Creator has to be. So David, he feels this. Even without the knowledge that we have today of billions and billions of galaxies, David feels small just when he looks up and sees the moon and the stars. And David begins to feel very, very small out there in the fields. Have you ever felt small and insignificant as you look skyward, as you look at the heavens? It's easy to do so when we look up there and see that. Now, it's maybe not so easy to see the stars here in the city. I get that. But when you go out into the country, you can see forever out there. Years ago, when I went to Iowa State University, I was a young man there. I was traveling from Des Moines, Iowa, up to Ames, where Iowa State was, with my roommate. And we were driving along I-35, zipping along the interstate like young men do. And all of a sudden, my roommate, who was in the passenger seat, rolled down his window, got up, as we're on the interstate driving, got up out of the car, and sat on the edge of the windowsill looking out there, outside, as we're driving. I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, look at all of them. He said, look at what? I don't know if he saw cows or what. And he said, no, look at all the stars. You see, he was from New Jersey. And in New Jersey, he'd seen like one or two stars, maybe. But out there in between the towns of Des Moines and Ames, he was just amazed by what he saw. He was blown away. David also was blown away by the heavens. And as he is feeling so small, he asks the very, very powerful question in verse 4. What is man? What is humanity that you are mindful of him, of us? That's a powerful question. And David begins to look at the world around him for answers. In verse 5, he declares that God made humans a little lower than the angels. So he begins to say, you know, we seem small, but God made us just a little lower than the angels. And that word angels is translated actually from the Greek there. It's from the translation from the Septuagint. If you actually take the word in Hebrew, you could just as easily translate it, you've made man a little lower than God. So he's letting us know that we're not some speck of dust. God has made us amazingly. He goes on and he says that God has crowned humanity with honor and glory and given us dominion over the world. Is this true? Do we have dominion over the world today? Well, look at what humanity has done on this planet. Not always good, but you could definitely say that we do have dominion. So David gives us answers to his question. But David's question is a dilemma that has echoed down through time. As we see how big the universe is, and also as we see the pain and the hurt of this world, we ask like David. And the question really is, does God care? So think with me about this for just a moment. Does God care? Well, how could I show you that I care about you? How do you show others that you care about them? Well, I could send you a card, or today maybe a text message. We could sit down, we could visit together. I could tell you that I love you. I could tell you that I'm praying for you. Those are all good things, right? To help show that I care. But how do you truly determine who are the people in your life who really care about you? What's your litmus test for that? Well, friends, the best way that we can show that we care for someone is to go through hard times with them, to go through struggles with them, side by side. That's how we know that someone cares. And that is exactly the answer the Bible gives us to the question, to David's question and to our question, does God care? And friends, that's what we celebrate here in this communion service. That our God, the God who is bigger than creation, came here with us. He lived with us, walked with us, and not just like that. That would be enough to come and be with us. But even beyond that, he became like us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, if you'll read with me there, it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. God answers David's questions and our questions by coming to our world, by becoming human. And that would be enough to answer the question, I think, of if God cares. But God says, no, it's not enough. He says, I'm going even further than that. So if you turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 22, I want you to see just how far God is willing to go to show you and me, to show everyone how much he cares. Look with me at Luke chapter 22 and verse 19. Luke chapter 22, verse 19 says, and Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." My friends, all I can do for you when you're hurting, when you're suffering, when you're going through hard times, is to be at your side. But I cannot take the pain away. And I certainly cannot suffer that pain for you. But Jesus goes further to show us that he cares. He goes to the cross and he sheds his blood and he gives his life. And he answers our questions at the cross. Communion is indeed the best answer to our stargazing question. For there is no greater way for God to show us that he cares, that he is mindful of men and women, than what he did on the cross. And God's answer is out of this world. Communion is out of this world. Maybe more than we even realize. The following story I want to share with you is true, according to the website Snoops.com. Because they look all this stuff up. Out of this world. Over 43 years ago, two human beings changed history by walking on the surface of the moon. But what happened before Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong exited the lunar module is perhaps even more amazing, if only because so few people know about it. You see, Buzz Aldrin was an elder at his Presbyterian church in Texas. And knowing that he was soon going to do something unprecedented in human history, he felt that he should mark the occasion somehow. So he asked his pastor to help him. So the minister consecrated a communion wafer and a small vial of communion wine. And Buzz Aldrin took them with him out of Earth's orbit and on to the surface of the moon. And he and Armstrong had only been on the lunar surface for a few minutes when Aldrin made the following public statement. He said, "This is LM Pilot, and I'd like to take this opportunity to ask every person listening, whoever and wherever may be, to pause for a moment and contemplate the events of the past few hours and to give thanks in his or her own way." He then ended radio communication, and there, on the silent surface of the moon, 250,000 miles from home, he read a verse from the Gospel of John and took communion. Here is his own account of what happened. Quoting now, "In the radio blackout, I opened the little packages which contained the bread and the wine, and I poured the juice in the chalice our church had given me. In the 1/6 gravity of the moon, the wine slowly curled and gracefully came up the side of the cup. And then I read the scripture. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me will bring forth much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." He goes on and says, "I intended to read my communion passage back to earth, but at the last minute, they had requested that I do not do this. NASA was already embroiled in a legal battle over the Apollo 8 crew reading from Genesis while orbiting the moon at Christmas. So Buzz said, I reluctantly agreed. But I ate the bread and swallowed the wine and gave thanks for the intelligence and the spirit that brought two young pilots to the Sea of Tranquility. It was interesting for me to think that the very first liquid ever poured on the moon and the very first food eaten there were the communion elements. And of course, it's interesting to think that some of the first words spoken on the moon were the words of Jesus Christ, who made the earth and the moon and the stars, and who, in the immortal words of Dante, is himself the love that moves the sun and the other stars." End of quote. I told you, communion is out of this world. Arguably the greatest scientific achievement that humanity had ever done, to leave the earth and to walk on another celestial body. And as man stood on the moon, he remembered to praise God and to give Christ glory. It's an amazing story. Only this story is not science fiction. Amen? This story is true. And it testifies of Jesus, who is the truth. God's love is a love that is truly out of this world. But I wonder today if we were somehow able to take an astronaut and put him further than the moon, put him on Mars, if the astronauts would be taking communion on the red planet up there. I wonder. We find the best answer to David's question, does God care, in communion. God cares so much that he came to our world. And the cross shows God's out of this world love for us. But my friends, we do not have to travel to the moon. We do not have to go to outer space to have connection with Jesus. We can connect with Christ right here and right now. And that's what this is about. We do not need to stand on the moon in order to praise God. We can testify of his love, his out of this world love for us right here today. So I invite you in this service that we will soon partake of. I invite you to listen to God as he answers our question and says to us, do I care? The stars and the moons testify. The cross is your answer. I love you. God answers us more than we could ever know. Almighty Father in heaven, we thank you this day for your out of this world love that came into this world in order to save us. We thank you for this service, Lord, that reminds us again of your saving grace. Lord, help us to experience anew your love, and help us to be changed and to be new and in your image this day. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.